Hello and welcome. My name is Robin and welcome to another edition of City Talks, hosted by A City Made by People. A quick introduction to who we are as A City Made by People. A lot of people that are tuning in might, are like real fans and they already know. But I'd like to already do like always a quick introduction to who we are, because, you know, we keep on developing, we keep on improving as well. So there's always something new to announce. For everyone tuning in, we're live streaming through Facebook, through our Facebook groups. And if you would, if you're not on Facebook, then please make sure that you can RSVP through our website, acitymadebypeople.com, and City Talks. You can RSVP, that will immediately direct you to our live page, so you can always watch and tune in and have to miss out on anything. We also record this, so if you don't have time, you can rewatch it. And we'll also save it as a podcast to be published soon. So there are like numerous opportunities for you to listen to and insights and join in the conversation. What are we all about? So A City Made by People started, I would say almost 8 years ago, with a mission to, you know, make cities, give cities more of a face and show more the people behind the city. Who are the people that are actually shaping up the city every day? What we're about is all about facilitating social connection among citizens to really share knowledge and insights on different issues and topics to empower them to really, you know, act something and be a more engaged citizen. And all together as a collective, we can make sure that as a collective, we can build a thriving city. So currently we have a network in different cities around the world, ranging from Amsterdam to Melbourne, from Hong Kong back to Chicago and everything between. We're very excited to have new two cities on board, which are Berlin and Helsinki. They're going to feature some stories on next month's theme, so it's going to be a very exciting one. And what we launched is, like, in the past, we've always done events. We've always launched or had content on our website and launched a print magazine. But we felt it was it's time to really more emphasis on our mission. Now we created a membership platform, which is super exciting, where feature stories from our network, which hosts these talks that we're doing today. But we're also going to launch how-to classes and courses very, very soon. So we can, across episodes, invite experts over to share knowledge with you on how to become a better citizen. And lastly, we also host multiple challenges that we share with our community that really make you roll up your sleeve and do something and make and create a positive impact. So each month is all about themes. This month is all about support your local. Next month is all about giving back. And we got some exciting themes for in the new year. But for everyone who wants to explore further, please go to acitymadebypeople.com, find out more about what the membership offer is. And we encourage you to join us and join the movement, City Enthusiasts in the World. It's going to be an exciting one. But for this month, it's all about this support your local theme. And that's also why this City Talks is built around how can citizens help local businesses. In the past, even in the last month, we have had the support your local theme numerous times. But I mean, we're still, part of us still in lockdown. Companies are still facing the almost results from being in lockdown and being closed. So we felt it's our responsibility to put more light on them and listen to them more carefully and see how we can help them even as citizens. So this month theme is about City Talks. We're proud to have invited like three amazing initiatives from different cities around the world. So first one up, I'm going to take on stage is Lisa from Amsterdam. And this is Lisa Schotman. She's running a store in the east side of Amsterdam. We're going to bring her on. 1 second.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Sitting in my shop now, so then I'm always feeling good.
Oh, you said that you were closing down, closing shop and then going to the live stream.
Yes, yeah, okay. True.
Well, tell us a bit more about what you do and what your store is all about.
I'm Lisa. I have a shop since March this year in Amsterdam East. Already for 3 years, I have a web shop where I sell vintage and sustainable brands. And last year I decided, okay, my dream is to open my shop. I'm going to open a shop. So this March I opened.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
When did you open last year?
No, this year, March.
Oh, really? This year?
Yeah. Best time ever.
Was it a hard launch for you?
Because I just opened almost the same week when Holland was first press conference. So the opening party I couldn't host it because it was end of March where we went into semi lockdown.
Second up, Nicholas.
Hola.
All the way from Bogota.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. No problem. What time is it now in Bogota?
It's past 12 o'clock.
Okay.
It's in the middle of the day right now.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect timing.
Yeah, it's a perfect it's a power hour.
power hour. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I'm happy that you found some time within the power hour to be part of this live stream. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Of course, I'm a chef. I'm born here in Bogota, Colombia. I start like really young, like cooking with one of the best chefs here in Colombia called Harry Sazón. He teach me a lot of things, and then I moved to LA to work and as a chef in one of the best hotels there in California, and then come back because the situation and you know the COVID issues. I come back here and I make my family business, which is like Arabic food because I have a lot of family there too. So it's kind of mixed between Latin culture and Arabic food too.
Okay, looks delicious.
Thank you.
And for whom are you cooking? Are you you cooking for different kind of organizations or events?
Yeah. We don't have like a local, like a physical local. We only like cook for social media. So we move with the different groups in Facebook. We move with the different platforms. Digital platforms like Instagram, and it's kind of hiding kitchen, you know. It's not like a physical kitchen because it's really hard to get a physical thing right now. Like Alisa, right. Lisa, it's a good example. But I mean, it's tough.
yeah. Well, maybe we can share some inspiration on that as well in a second.
Good.
Well, Nicholas, thank you so much for being here. I'm quickly going to bring back up Alex, and then we can start our Q&A. Alex.
Hey, guys.
Where were you?
I had a little internet issue, but it's all over now, and it's better.
Okay, no worries. Could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Alexandru Dumitru. I'm from Bucharest, Romania. And the same like Lisa, I just opened my long time dream business in March, February, actually, late February this year. Of course, we run for 10 days straight and then we enter the COVID era, which hopefully will end up sooner or later. And then we had to adjust every single day to keep on going and to not shut down the business. A business that I put all my savings, all my time, and all my love into it, and I really don't want to lose it. And from that day on, that the lockdown came over Bucharest, all that we want is just to keep on going and survive. And that was the key word.
Yeah, it's that survival instinct that happens then to you.
Yeah, well, if you don't have it, it brings you out. It will come out at sooner or later. And that is all that is about these days, and you might have also surprises that you learn things about you that you never know that they were there, and yeah, I'm still here and I'm happy for this, and we'll keep fighting until the end of the things. And that's the only way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think that's immediate and a nice link to that's our first question and starting kickoff of this Q&A. So I'm going to bring up the rest and start the first question is that, you know, Alex, as you say, how is your situation at the moment in Bucharest?
Right now, situation in Bucharest, let's say all over, look around, the city is closed. Like, I don't know if close really like borderline, but all the businesses like restaurants are shut down. Shops close down at 9 p.m. It's very tough, and you can only sell takeout and delivery food. So we adjusted a little bit the business, and we made a comfort fast food. So we made comfort food. We normally were a fine dining restaurant focusing on local producers, very small 20-seat restaurant, tasting menu, a restaurant made with a lot of passion, worked every day in it, building it, and spend every single time day here. And now we closed that concept, and we made a comfort food / fast food, and we sell fried chicken. So I bring that fried chicken concept back to the days when I was living in the United States. Same like Nicholas, I lived in California, and I know fried chicken is very big in the United States. And I created a concept, and we now are running this concept now. It's called Anika Fried Chicken, and we hopefully we will pass the winter with it. And who knows, maybe a new brand is born.
And is it going well?
For now, it's going well. We'll see how the things will stay through the winter, because I don't think anytime soon we will open the restaurant as it was in the next, I don't know, four or five months, maybe.
That's what your expectation is.
At least I think will take longer, but right now you cannot really tell.
Yeah. And what about you, Lisa? I mean, how's your situation like?
Here's a semi-lockdown, meaning that restaurants are closed. They can also do takeaway. They just changed it today. Now the libraries can open again. They were also closed for a while. And luckily the shops could still be open. But there are some adjustments over here, like not buying alcohol after 8 and these kind of rules.
Okay, and do you notice a change, like are people coming to your store?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Half October, they had some new rules, like the semi-lockdown started again, because in summer they... the restaurants could open again after April. So everything went sort of back to normal. And then in half October, they made some new rules. And you really feel like people, less people are walking in the streets. And it really changes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Good to hear. And Bogota, I would love to have your perspective on it as well.
It's good. You know, it's South America, so... The news about the COVID and all the situation was about you guys, Europe. So for us, it was like, okay, it's a big deal. So we have to take care. So here in Bogota, since March to September, we have been in lockdown, like in lockdown completely. So...
Ever since March, are you saying that?
Yeah. Since March to September. So, I don't know, the past 2 months, October and November, he has been like for recovery about, the local business and all the things that has been really, effect of that. So, the hospitality industry has been really, really, affect for this situation. So a lot of bars, a lot of restaurants has been closed. like, I don't know, I have the thing here, but I think it's 700 of formal business here has been closed in the past in this year. So it's gonna be really, it's gonna be a really good recovery, because it's hard here. But I mean, it's better, you know, to take care and start from our houses and take care of our family for do that.
That's a good spirit. Taking care of your family. Yeah. And what have you then personally been doing? Like, you know, like differently. I mean, of course, you know, we have to test our creativity, but you know, like, how have you adapted to it from your work point of view, Nicholas?
I mean, I started my business since COVID, so it was in March, because I came. I don't know. In February, I was in Texas managing a food business there. So I come back because, you know, I have my family here. So since that, I've been trying to do a different culinary things, like hiding kitchens. So in my kitchen, I've been working here in my family kitchen, you know, in my house. I've been working for a lot of different platforms. So it's kind of, you know, I don't know if you guys know that word, but in Spanish we say it like reinventarse. It's like reinventing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you reinvent yourself. Yeah.
Reinvent yourself, exactly. So it's kind of
the word adaption, I think maybe not the right word, but it's all reinventing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't have, like Alexandru, I don't have the, you know, the local, but I have my business going and it's going really well, because, you know, a lot of people need to eat. So it's kind of people always need to eat, right? yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And this is funny, by the way, because we didn't ask you to be part of this talk, as now, we invited you all as a local business owner, of course, but not knowing that every one of you started in February, March. So that's just a coincidence. Yeah. So how do you reinvent yourself? I mean, you had to launch in March, of course.
Yeah, I really feel like in the beginning, you're full of energy. I think everyone of us recognizes that you want to push and want to do everything. And you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, and this to make it work. So in the beginning, I just went for it, because it's also starting a new business. But I have to say, now with the sort of second lockdown, I did have to adjust a bit. Like, I felt that my energy dropped and also my sales dropped a bit. With the second lockdown, I made some changes. I started selling the interior items you see on the picture. First, I sold also clothes. So first focusing on clothes, but now also adjusting it to selling more interior items, because everyone who wants to fill the house with nice stuff. So change that a bit. And also changing opening hours, and also, yeah, talk with other entrepreneurs really helped.
Mm-hmm. And you've already had a web shop already?
Yeah. For 3 years, okay. I have the web shop. Yeah.
Okay. What, did you see a difference there? I mean, people buying more through online and everything?
Yeah, the hardest thing is that my concept is really focused on selling offline. So that's why I also want to have a shop, because I sell a lot of vintage. And I felt like when I did pop-ups and a shopping shop, most people want to try the items. So that's why I also thought, okay, I need to open a shop. Mm-hmm. And so always my shop... I get the most money from the shop, but I also see, like, slowly online is also growing a bit. But for that, yeah, I now when I sell interior items, I do see a bit of, I sell more interior items also online. So that's nice to see.
Yeah. And of course, Alex already explained how he reinvented himself by going for takeaway and you call it fried chicken, right?
Yeah, fried chicken. But this is the second time we reinvent, because in the first lockdown we did something else. We did the boxes of food that came in a jar. So we made like all kinds of confitures, pâtés, and things that you can spread on bread, or you know, just eat in the morning, or like for a lazy picnic. Or you know, picnic idea was take out of the plan because of the lockdown. But anyway, we sell that and gifts with bottles of wine, and that was the first idea. Now in the second lockdown, we made the fried chicken because it's kind of more dynamic, and we adapted a little bit better. And we feel better, I think.
Yeah, and then there's a question also from the audience by Jan about, you know, food businesses versus retail. Which ones do you guys think are easier to adapt? Is there a difference, you think? Maybe Alex, you want to give it a go?
I think right now food business is as Nicolas said, people need to eat, and they will need to eat three times a day if they're not on any fasting or something, which is very popular now. But
okay,
at the same time, everybody needs to eat every day, and in the same time, you need to readapt and try to sell more. In my case, I always wanted to sell less but better quality. Now I have to keep the better quality and sell more. So it's a little bit difficult. You need to really step up a little bit your game, forgot all your awards and all your little everything that made you shine, and now you are nobody, and then you need to keep going to survive. So it's easy it's very down to earth, and you need to seize it very fast in order to keep going. And yeah, I think I don't know much about retail, but for food business, in my case, it needed a lot of down-to-earth thinking and straight forward. Also, yeah. Moving forward, moving fast, get shit down, as we say, get shit done, kitchens, and try to survive. And that's all about that's all about now.
Yeah. What's interesting, you see a lot of food businesses, restaurants or cafes, actually turning into a retail space, you know, selling wine, selling, like almost opening up almost like a mini market almost, where people can just buy different stuff. So actually, maybe it's also like getting closer to each other than ever before, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa or Nicholas, anything to say to that particular question, or you think it's quite answered already?
Yeah, I agree with Alex. I think also everybody wants to eat food, so I think indeed it's easier, people buy it faster. So if I want to change like concept or like sell other stuff, it's I think harder to adapt.
I agree with Lisa and with Alex. It's hard too, because here, for example, here in Bogota, the government didn't help a lot with the bar and the hospitality, so hospitality business. So for, I don't know, Harry Sazon, it's one of the best chefs here. He closed like 7 restaurants. So it was really tough, but he needs to survive. So he tried to adapt their menu, their things to do something different. Like Alex said and Lisa, everybody needs to eat. So it's like reinventing and adapt the days. So it's really important.
And like the next question, I also was wondering, like, you know, what do you think the difference is between running a small business versus more a big one? You know, like I'm also, Lisa, I got inspired by your blog post as well, where you really are stressing to, have people support small businesses, And I'm also curious to hear more about that. Like, what do you think the differences and the main challenges are there for small business owners? Can't speak to you, Lisa? Yeah, sorry, Lisa.
I really believe in like small businesses because they can tell more about their products. They can, there's more love. Yeah, I think, and also like the, for example, I sell sustainable clothes and I really handpick the right items. I really do research. So you know when you buy something in my store, you know what you're going to buy. So I tell the story behind, for example, sustainable brand that it's produces in Turkey and everybody gets paid well. That's what I love about having a small business.
It's very important to support local and also make people understand that.
True.
I think also Alex mentioned about working with local producers. I think a lot of consumers or citizens maybe don't even know that it's a huge chain that's all interconnected with each other, right? That if we close down one thing, then somebody who provides the eggs or tomatoes also doesn't have any income.
Personally, I think now to answer the question, I think small businesses has a big advantage because they have a faster reaction and then they adapt faster. A bigger chain needs to go through a lot of emails, a lot of meetings, a lot of testing, a lot of testing before they take out something. As a small business as we are, it's a lot faster. You just come up with the idea, put it in practice, and try to sell it. And we try to move very fast because the times are changing fast, and we try to move as fast as the times are now. And this is the key factor. And I think from now on, the small business has a big advantage to prevail now and become bigger. And it's an advantage if you look at it this way, because we move faster than the big brands move. They need a lot more wheels on moving than we need. We just wake up in the morning, come up with the idea, and by the end of the day, if you work hard, you put it in practice, and it's a big advantage, guys. We need to prevail this. We need to step over the big brands as fast as we can and as good as we can. Doesn't mean that it has to happen, but it's a chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I see it.
Oh, very, very, very nice. Very nice point. Nicholas?
Sorry, Robin, sorry. I agree with you. And also, I think our people in our cities, like Bogota, support that. They support a lot of small business. So I think it's really important start with the small business. And then if you see that the things, turning better or something, during the pandemic, you can grow, with adapt something, you can grow a little bit more connect with a lot of different small business and make it bigger. But I think it's the best starting with small business. Like me, I'm starting in a hiding kitchen in my house. So... I agree 100% with you, Alex.
Nice. I mean, and that we have some questions in as well from viewers. For example, Hannah is raising, have businesses contacted you directly for catering arrangements? So these are other like bigger corporations. I mean, have they, Nicholas or Alex?
I'll try to answer first. In our case, it didn't yet. Hopefully they will, but as I know from previous years, I don't expect much from them. Not because I have something against them or something like that, but it just maybe doesn't happen that way here, or maybe not for us. I wish it would happen because that would be a big help. They have more money, more connections, more places to sell, but they are affected too. And I think they, in these times, they are thinking more about themselves than the small businesses, because if you have to think it very radical, if a small business grows, that means yours it's going down. So I don't think thinking very, very straightforward, I don't think they want that. They just want to keep their business big and the other one small. I want mine bigger than theirs. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, sure. Maybe that's within the hospitality or food business, but I could imagine that what you offer could be interesting to companies. Like, I don't know, fried chicken for lunch, for example, or, you know, they book Nicholas in for dinner. I don't know if those things still continue. Nicholas, have you had collaborations with those kind of companies? Is that...
Yes, I mean, for catering, you know, for the last... You know that the big companies make a lot of kind of social... social meetings and all that stuff. So here in Bogota, there's a lot of in Facebook groups. So there's a lot of supporters there in the Facebook groups. So I don't know, a manager of a big brand trying to contact me to try to help, because the government doesn't help. So it's kind of, you know, the we need to cooperate because it's the only way that I think we can make a difference between the big brands and the small brands.
So this is one of the questions that was raised as well, and it's almost that the viewers are hijacking the Q&A here, but which is great. That's what the brand name is all about. So Sara raises about collaboration with fellow local businesses. That's what Nicholas just said within Facebook. So that's great, right? Supporting each other. Lisa, have you seen any interesting collaborations happening on your end?
Yes, I did one myself. I did a giveaway and asked different shops to give something away to promote them on Instagram, and also give something like a stay-at-home basket we created with some nice shops here in the neighborhood. But in general, I really believe in like working together and see opportunities together, talk also to other local businesses, because we're in this together. So also for yourself, it helps to know like it's not that busy in the other for example, in another business or clothing store. So that helps to also slow down yourself a bit and know like this is the situation. And showing more together helps to be more visible together.
And how do you do that, like being more visible together then?
We as a sort of area we have, quarter. We have a website, we have socials together. So in the beginning of Corona, I said, give me the social accounts to post about small businesses, because we're here. And in these times, it's also nicer to go to a small business than to go to a bigger business where it's crowded. Again, the beautiful stories and behind those businesses, like, for example, a nice wine shop we have over here, and a guy selling coffee from Ethiopia. So, yeah, there is really a story behind all the businesses, and it's really nice to show it. And I found out also my not only the social platform of this area likes to know more about the different shops, but also on my own socials, I see people really like to discover other shops that also sustainable, or where you can buy like good wine. So it's also sort of inspiration platform.
And this platform, is it a standalone platform online, or how does that work?
It's now only on social, so on Facebook and Instagram, but I'm building a website for this area. And also in the upcoming months, I want to really focus on this community and show this area to others.
And with an area, you mean like a neighborhood or like a shopping street?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
True.
All right. Cool. Awesome. That sounds really cool. I mean, this is like a good example of you know, stronger together, right? Or better together, however you want to call it. Is that something that also happens on your end, Alex, in Bucharest?
Yeah, perhaps. I saw a few brands, small businesses collaborate between them. We didn't do one yet, but we are planning to do one for like a Christmas gift for maybe for companies try to sell or for close friends or for people who will want to take this. So as we know, my background is in fine dining, and we always sell Romanian wines, and right now they are affected too because there are wineries that only sell wine to restaurants. They're not selling in retail. They are selling it only to dining rooms, to restaurants, so the wine has a better price. But right now, the restaurant closed, they are having also a lot of problem with the cash flow and with money, and they need it because next year there is a crop of grapes as well, and they need to make money next year as well. They need to make wine next year as well. And we are trying to collaborate with one or two maybe wineries and make a gift for the Christmas. Maybe we made some cozonac, which is a traditional Romanian pastry, like a brioche with chocolate and stuff, and put a bottle of wine for these small wineries and sell it as a gift to the companies. And in that way, we help them too, because they need to survive as well as we need, and as many other small businesses need to survive the winter, and hopefully, who knows how long more.
Yeah. Because quickly, I mean, let's see a question here by Ioana about, you know, making people more aware of that chain, right? Of the element of the whole system.
Explains her question, because there's a lot of other small businesses that depends on other small businesses. So you see how fragile the whole system is. You don't really even know where you are anymore, and everybody is trying to swim. You don't even know if you swim with the current, you swim against the current. Really, you don't really know. But at the same time, you need to keep calm, need to think very well, breathe, relax a little bit, and try to find the best ideas in order to survive. And maybe if you're doing a little bit better, helping others. Difficult times anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is interesting. Like, you know, like within the chain of companies, you can collaborate, as in, of course, being part of an area, like Lisa was just mentioning. You know, that's a different way of looking at it. Nicholas, how is it in Bogota?
Like Alex and Lisa, I think it's pretty much similar. I mean, the small business collaborate with the small business too, and a lot of different kind of, like I said, it's like, I don't know, the big brands collaborate with the small brands between the groups, you know, the Facebook groups. So because like Alex said, especially for the culinary, there's a lot of business, small business depending of your business. So it's kind of you need to collaborate a lot with a lot of business. I don't know, the person, like here in Bogota, we have an issue with the potato, because we grow a lot of potato here, in Bogota, because we have a cold ambience. So it's kind of hard, because a lot of hotels and a lot of persons prefers the potato that it came from USA, or it came from Chile, or it came from different parts, rather than here. So it's kind of an issue. So a lot of small business, we're helping for that, for, you know, collaborate each other.
So we need to promote the local potato in Bogota.
Yes, in Colombia.
Oh, sorry, in Colombia. That's, I mean, that's, that will be a fun, nice campaign, you know, like support the local potato in Colombia.
Yeah, it would be good because here it's season, it's rainy season. So, you know, that the potato grows with the rain. So there's a lot of potato and a lot of farmers like talking each other and said, like, what you gonna do? It's a lot of potato and we need to survive. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, we're, you know, there's no luxury to choose only, you know, all the products you want. I think this is the time also to more and more than ever produce locally and also consume locally, right? So I think that's one of the wake-up calls I hope that also people get from this pandemic, to support your local, but also continue to consume locally, then you know, change your behavior than ever before. We're already, you know, time flies when you're having fun. I mean, I already want to head towards a last question here. It's also like, you know, of course, I want to hear more, like, have you received already a lot of support from our fellow citizens? But also I would like us to see if we can brainstorm some ideas and share inspiration to everyone who's watching to actually, you know, do something and help their local business. And feel free to all viewers even to pitch in some ideas if you have them, or share some examples, because I think examples also are a very, very good way to share it. Is anyone that thinks that has an amazing idea on you know, creating more awareness around the citizens to help you? Or how could they help you instead, you know, at the moment?
A tough question.
I think already, oh, sorry.
Go for it, Lisa.
Go ahead.
I think already asking, it's really nice that people ask, how are you doing? It's already, to have that conversation about how I'm doing. And first I thought, oh yeah, I have to be, I have to say everything goes well, but it's really nice to talk together with the customer, how it's going, that you really, talk about it. So for me, that already helps to sort of check in with each other about this situation.
Because sometimes otherwise people don't even know how they can help you, right? I mean, that's also like, so step one, check in so you know how things are going.
Yeah.
Right.
Three.
True.
Alex, I could say, you know, buy my fried chicken, but maybe there's more than to support you.
More there's... I can give you an example, like, you know, maybe bigger. Now we live in times that, you know, influencers are having a lot of power now. Not all of them, but some of them they do have. And maybe it will be an idea for some of them to turn their eyes onto a few small businesses. They cannot support all of them, of course. And I understand their point of view that they need to make money, so they need to promote bigger brands, the ones that pays them. But in the same time, if you are a human being and you have a little bit of soul in you, you can turn your eyes for a few small businesses that you can support and maybe help them, you know. And not everything needs to be about money these days, even though it is, but if you are doing, as I said earlier, if you are doing a little bit better, doesn't hurt to look at the ones that are not doing better now, but maybe they will in the future. If you give them a small help or a small reach or everything that stands there, mm-hmm. and I think that's the key these days. People need to be more humanely thinking and you know, try to look at the ones in need these mm-hmm. these days. Yeah. That's what I think it should be done more. But anyway, we are receiving a good support here. I'm not complaining. Can be better, but also can be worse. So I'm fine right now. We're doing as best as we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're doing a great job, and you know, we're happy to support everyone's cause really on this call. But yeah, good ideas. So everyone that serious with a serious following in either Bucharest, Bogota, or Amsterdam, you know, go shed more light on your local business.
Thank you, guys. It'll be good. Yeah.
Yeah, Nicholas, same.
I received a lot of support because I grew up with the COVID. I mean, with my business grew up with the COVID.
I was like, you grew up with COVID.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's a tough question because it's a lot of ideas coming up. But maybe, you know, I have a couple of friends that they order each Friday some different food of each small business. So I don't know. They order like shawarma one day, okay, and they look in Facebook and they looked in, I don't know, in Instagram, on social media, and they try to plan, like, you know, each Friday to support the small business. So it's a good idea to, you know, to help with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so each Friday we got to order something else.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, if you want pizza, so why you don't order the local pizza, like the local small business in your town, mm-hmm. instead of the big cities. Here in Bogota, I don't know if you guys know Burger King. Burger King in Instagram, in Colombian Instagram, they post like, okay, my burger, it's the best burger, but please support the small business. So it's kind of good because there's a lot of help here, mm-hmm. To helping each other, the small business.
Yeah, and maybe besides shawarma, because that's, or burgers, you can also do like fine dining, right? Oh God, support your local shawarma place.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you're still drunk at home at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe on Friday night you can order your shawarma at 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
Or fried chicken. Yeah.
Or fried chicken.
So during the day, you just support your local, you know, like sustainable fashion brands, you know, and then you finish off the day in style with fried chicken or shawarma.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I like that one. Guys, there are so many questions that I cannot not share with you. So I'm gonna click on a few questions for you guys to answer. Let me see where. Oh my God, where to start? I think I have Adriana here from Bucharest for Alex and Nicholas. A question on fine dining. Do you think these times made you reevaluate what fine dining actually means? So this is a question for you, Nicholas, beyond shawarma. Also, how do you see the future of fine dining after all of this?
Go, Alex, first.
Hello, Adriana. Well, it's a little bit tricky now with fine dining because you have to, you know, kind of forget what you are doing. And anyway, As I speak for myself, as my background, I was not born in fine dining. I was born peeling potatoes and washing dishes. So I am not scared of cooking any type of food. I know this is my job. This is what I know best. And this is what I will do for the probably all my life now, all my career. And so I can cook any type of thing, any type of food. I choose fine dining because it gives me time to be away from the kitchens as well. I give me time to go in the forest, forage, give me time to go visiting farms, give me time planting, give me time, save me time to do everything I wanted to do. So I have a story for the guest at the table to tell. So in fine dining, food needs to have a story as well. It's not just food. Right now, when we say comfort food, it's just food. You try to doing as good as you can, giving a competitive price, and that is it. But normally, I think in this time, fine dining is out of the question. And who knows when it will be back. Right now, the times are not the best for this type of cooking. People are very careful with their money now, and also afraid of, because in a fine dining restaurant you need to spend maybe 2 hours at least at the table, so you go through the whole experience, and that means a lot of contact with other people. You know, you have a sommelier, mm-hmm. you have a waiter, you have a chef coming to your table. It's a very difficult situation right now. And I think for now it's put it on hold. And we need to come back to basic and cook food that people eat easily and reach more guests. And
More convenience.
More convenience. And mm-hmm. we are trying to do this. See how it goes. But right now, fine dining doesn't look very well. See how it will return.
Mm-hmm. I've heard Hannah said the best fried chicken joints open after hours. So there that's maybe it's extra idea. Sorry, Nicholas, go ahead.
No, I agree with Alex 100%. I mean, fine dining, it's all about the experience. So mm-hmm. in this moment, you don't have an experience because you are at home, you are in lockdown, so you can bring some experience. So me as a chef, Alex as a chef, you need to adapt. The time it's for, to stay home and to eat something different that you eat frequently, and that's it. I mean, the fine dining, I think it's going to be a tough business right now. But I don't know, a lot of chefs, a lot of fine dining chefs trying to improve their menus to make it better. But I don't know, right now, it's not the best choice, I think.
Okay, good. And in between all food war, there's Lisa, but I think that's also interesting, a cross collaboration about food businesses and retail stores. That's a question for you, Lisa, here. Were the stores in your neighborhood used to collaborating with each other?
A bit, because we have a shoe repair store where some clothing shops bring the shoes that are damaged a bit and these kind of things. Hopefully in the future we can do it more because everybody needs support. And they're really nice. We have some meetings sometimes online to discuss also how we can do it more, especially in the neighborhood like this. We have different kind of shops, so it's really nice to see and talk about the different options to collaborate.
Nice. Anything that's food related as well? Just to share some inspiration.
You see here in Amsterdam East, they have like an Amsterdam East box with food. So you see that a lot, like support your local box that people can order. And we also planned to maybe make a Christmas box together, but we're going to postpone that to next year. Corona also makes you creative sometimes to see how we can do it more, maybe more than before, to see how we can collaborate.
Are there any fashion stores, fashion brands, Nicholas, Alex, you collaborate with, maybe? No?
Not yet. I think not yet.
Okay. Okay,
no.
I'm trying to cross-pollinate here. Some other comments that were made early in this conversation is, of course, Adriana, hello, from Bucharest. Then I think this is incredible. Thanks for sharing, guys. This was also a question to you, Lisa, as well. Did opening a store right before lockdown force you to redefine your goals? Well, we already answered that, right, with the online store a bit.
Yeah. I did make some changes now from starting the shop and now. And still online, I sell a lot of vintage, and now I want to change it more to sustainable brands because there you still have the story and it's easier to sell online. So still in my mind, I'm working on to redefine the concept. So but I think entrepreneur life in general also to check how you can change and how you can grow. So yeah.
Very good. That's the spirit. Yes. And I think it's nice that all three of you just recently started. So you get, immediate. And then probably you've, done a lot of stuff before. But still, I think you get tested in these times as an entrepreneur. So it's a deep dive, I can imagine. It's Adrian again, saying she had a long-time reservation at Anika, made that Friday, went on Thursday, restaurants closed. So, well, we're back at it, I think, in 2021.
Hopefully.
Absolutely. Am I missing out on comments? I don't think. Oh, here we go. Lennon says, few small businesses need to show better their products. Is there a way to collaborate on renting a marketing company to help them with social media? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably. That's those influencers that we need, right, Alex?
Yeah, right. There is the times that maybe marketing company pick up one or two small brands and help them. Maybe in the future, the small brands who become bigger will pay back the marketing company. Who knows now? I know right now we are on our own.
Chicken for life.
Who knows?
Good. All right, Paulina is sharing an idea, vouchers, on how citizens could support you, like gift cards or vouchers that people can...
This is actually a really nice idea, and I saw the question. I think this is something to think about. We tried to do this, but maybe it wasn't the time. And right now, maybe during Christmas especially, maybe if we promote the best message, people will buy a voucher, and that would be a great asset for us on the win. So actually, yeah, it's a really good idea, and I will give it a real thought these next days, and maybe we will do it.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who runs a business here, bought a voucher as well, and I just need to see when I can redeem it, when they're open again. So yeah, absolutely. It's not just like a flight voucher. It's different, something that could still be used in future. Okay, I think this is it, guys. I think we're at the end of the Q&A. I think we did share some light, shed some light on the situation and shared some inspiration, I hope. I even hope for even the three of you guys that it was inspiring to have this conversation. We're actually also sharing the links of your profiles in the comments here as we speak. So people that are watching, please go and follow them. Doesn't matter whether you're not in Bucharest or not in Bogota or not in Amsterdam. I think, even a follow is a support. Please share the message. It also made me hungry, this conversation. So I feel like fried chicken, but it's a bit far away, I think.
Or shawarma.
Before we end this, I quickly wanted to say thanks for joining. Our next City Talks will be part of our monthly theme being giving back. Giving back is all about supporting those who are in need, which is, of course, normally without any COVID restrictions, but we're all challenged in our own way, but still there are people out there that still need our help even more. So our next month will be about giving back. We'll be featuring initiatives that can share insights on that given. It will be part of our monthly theme. Don't forget, become a member, join us as a city enthusiast, because the world opens around stories, courses that we're launching in the next weeks, which are very exciting. These talks that will happen, you'll be the first to know. You get access to community worldwide, full of city enthusiasts. And we're about to launch a lot of exciting challenges in the coming weeks as well. It's going to be a busy month up to Christmas, but please don't miss out on it. And we just love to see you there. I'm going to thank you for your time. It's up to an hour. We're safe. Stay safe and stay healthy. My name is Robin, and I hope to see you soon again. Okay, all the best. Take care. Bye-bye.